Lord, I thank you. You can't ever thank him enough. Once again, good morning. I pray everyone's doing well on this morning. It's good to give thanks unto God. I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to start at verse 1, and I'm going to use 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is our text for today. But before I start sharing with you from the text, I want to share with you a couple things that I think are vitally important to help us understand the context of our word for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. It's interesting because he was writing to a church, and the Bible says that they come behind in no spiritual gift. So you imagine a church that's gifted with all of the gifts of the Spirit, the ones from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we're familiar with, the ones from the book of Romans chapter 12. They're just seeing all of the potential giftings that you can possibly think. This church is endowed with them. So they come behind in no spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, Paul has to write back later in essence telling them to desire, in essence, the best gift. They are endowed so much that he's saying, you know, you want to have the ones that best profit the church. Amen. So in telling them this, he's addressing some vital concerns. But I want to pick up chapter 2. Because chapter 2 is quite enlightening. So I want to talk to you today, and I believe if the Holy Spirit will, he shifted something for me in seeing this in a way that I never saw it before. Perhaps he'll do the same for you, and you know, maybe you saw this and you knew it, and I just didn't know it. So nevertheless, we're going to look at this because I believe it's a blessing to us. So, today, what I want to talk to you about is the wisdom of God. I want to talk to you about the wisdom of God. Now, mind you, we're talking about a church that came behind and no spiritual gift. And now Paul would take the time to address the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. What I am talking to you about today is not intellectual academic achievement. It is different than that. And it's very stunning when you see this, and it will explain a lot of things, I believe, in our world. So I want you to look at the text with me and see what we can glean concerning the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul is saying, I did not come preaching with eloquent speech. When you really look, they labeled Paul as, watch this, he wasn't a good preacher. People would, if Paul was in our day, he wasn't the one that everybody wanted to go hear. He said, I didn't come to you like that. He says, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. But wait, Pastor, you said that this is the wisdom of God. You're right. But this wisdom that Paul is talking about here is the intellectual stimuli. I didn't come to tickle your fancy intellectually. That's not what I did when I came to you. Watch this, verse 3. And I was with you in weaknesses, or in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I need you to hear this. The wisdom of God is not hindered by the nervousness of the messenger. Do you hear what Paul said? Oh, it's liberating, ain't it? Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear. Then he says, and in much trembling, I was nervous. So the wisdom of God is not hindered by the nervousness of the messenger. That should set us all free right there. Then he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So the message of the messenger should be more important than the messenger. The message of the messenger should be more important than the messenger. Let me just make it real plain. It ain't all about us. It's about the message. Paul said, I wasn't trying to entice y'all with these wonderful words, swelling your head up and all of that. That ain't why I was here. He says, the reason I did that in verse 5 is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, or should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are you noticing that Paul keeps addressing that there's another kind of wisdom? So the message of the wisdom of God revolves around what God can and has done, not what we can do. The message of the wisdom of God revolves around what God can and has done, not what we can do. See, when I start looking at this thing on the wisdom of God, I was like, okay, wait a minute. I didn't see this like this before. I know, maybe y'all did already, so maybe I get to something on here that's new and exciting to you in a minute. It was just good to me. Verse 6, howbeit, he says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but he says, howbeit, or in other words, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So there are at least two different types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of this world, then there's the wisdom that Paul is speaking. I want you to see this because I believe this is going to help us as we move forward. First off, I already found out that I could be nervous and still speak the wisdom of God. I'm shaking in my boots, but I'm saying I'm still saying the wisdom of God. That's not hindering my message. So there's at least two types of wisdom. One is of God and the other is worldly and will not prevail. So I need to know which one I'm operating in. But notice what Paul said. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Wait a minute. All of this hidden stuff. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Yes, sir. So wait a minute. God's wisdom is hidden. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So, let's step back for a second. There's two types of wisdom. One is worldly and it will not prevail. One is of God and is hidden. Now he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The word mystery has to do with it being secret. It's secret to those who are initiated. I'm giving you just a moment to suck it all in, you know. Just to pause and give you that Selah moment. So it's secret to those that are initiated. Can you imagine being in a club and y'all got a secret handshake? Everybody in the club know the handshake. This wisdom is secret to everybody that's in the club. I'm going to tell you who in the club in a minute. You know, we're going to show you the club in a minute. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So God set up or established this wisdom before the world to result in our glory. But it's hidden. How does God set up something that's going to result in our glory, but it's hidden? Remember, we're talking about the wisdom of God. Y'all ready? Let's take it slow. Revelations 13 and 8. How does God establish a wisdom before the world to result in our glory? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, God set up or ordained before the world unto our glory this wisdom. That wisdom was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. That is the wisdom of God. This is going to be so simple that sometimes it's so, if you look for something deep and complex and you miss it. But remember, the wisdom of God is hidden. Okay? Watch this. Which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know the wisdom of God. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you realize this is letting you know the rulers of this world do not know the wisdom of God. Okay, we're still going to slow walk it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So the world and its system do not know what God is doing. But I thought you said it was secret. It is. They just don't know what he's doing. So stop expecting some worldly expert to give you some insight on what's happening in the world. Because they don't know what God is doing. There is nothing more significant in the history of mankind than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they didn't know what God was doing. So why are we expecting news, whatever, to tell us what God is doing? Why are we expecting some... The other day, I heard that there was a Christian numerologist who had said that such and such was going to happen. Find me a so-called Christian numerologist in any of the 66 books. But he is a local expert. See, just walk with me here. We're talking about the wisdom of God. The leaders of Jesus' time were so blind that they crucified him. Think about that. The Son of God, they crucified him. Jesus would tell him, he would tell them who he was, and they still couldn't see it. I want you to get this picture. In the garden, they came with torches and swords to get Jesus. I think it's the book of Luke. it gives a rendition, and it talks about when they came, the Bible says that they asked him, you know, who he was. And so he says, I am he. And when he said, I am he, his words pressed them down to the ground. His words. And then when they got themselves together and got up again, and he answered again, it pressed them down to the ground again. And then they have the audacity. Peter says, you know what? Fine. They ain't getting the picture. Let me pull my sword out and fix things. Cuts off Malchus's ear. Jesus stops the arresting officers and fixes Malchus's ear. But they still don't know. Watch this. I know you said they still don't know the wisdom of God. And these were the experts of their time. Verse 10. So I need to do verse 9 again because I want to show you the context of verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, let me read this to you in its proper perspective for this text. Okay, eye hath not seen, so no eye has seen, nor ear heard, people haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of unsaved people. The eyes that ain't seen and the ears that have not heard are unsaved people. What, read the rest of the text. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. They don't know what God wants to do for his people. Can we keep moving a little bit? Let's go to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God is giving wisdom unto his people by his Spirit. That's why the ungodly do not see or know this wisdom. It only comes by the Spirit of God. Y'all ready? I have to back up what I'm saying. Amos 3 and 7. See, God is giving wisdom unto his people, but it's by his Spirit. We have thought wisdom was just the acquiring of knowledge. No, it's not. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you know something and it has nothing to do with what you know. I'll give you a minute to grab that one. Sometimes you know what? Let me do it a better way. Sometimes you know something and it has nothing to do with what you know. See, why do you sense something? Why do you feel something? Why? See, it's happening in your spirit, not in your knowledge of what's going on. I mean, there are spiritual seasons or climates that you sense changing and moving, but it ain't because you know it up here. But it's like it says in the book of Jude, there'll be scoffers in the last day because they think everything is just like it's always been because they can't sense the changing of the spiritual climate because they don't have the Spirit of God. Where am I at? Verse 10? Oh, Amos 3 and 7, right? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Why do everybody think God want to keep everything secret? That's everything secret is to those that don't know him. Do you know how much God wants you to know? But it's his wisdom. Let's go. Verse 11. Lord, help me. Okay. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. In other words, I don't know what you're thinking right now. But on the inside of you, your conscience, is you're going through thoughts and processes and all of that. No man knoweth what you're thinking except the conscience or the spirit that's inside of you. Then it says, look at this. Just like no man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of that which is in him, it is even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So in other words, the things of God are not known by a man unless he has the Spirit of God. So you know the things of God by the Spirit of God. Now, were you sitting up here wondering, well, I don't know, how am I going? Be quiet. Verse 12. Now we have received. You got it. I don't want to go past that because you got to get this first. Now we have received. We're not going to, we have. Past tense, done deal. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, so you didn't get that other wisdom we were talking about. Anybody home? So we didn't get that one. But what did we get? The spirit which is of God. So since we got that, what will happen now? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The whole purpose or the reason God has given us his spirit has to do with us knowing his wisdom. Now his wisdom is going to cause us to know all the things that are freely given unto us of God. In other words, you have access to more than you know up here. Yeah, I'm going to wait a minute here. You know, something. God is not waiting on you to come up with what you can think you have access to. He's giving you his spirit to let you know what you have access to. Sometimes up here, you feel guilty and don't feel like you've got access to some things. So what he did is he says, listen, I want you to know that you have access unto the throne of grace to obtain grace in the time of need. And I'm sharing that to you by my spirit. Not going to waste time on you trying to figure out something mentally. This ain't got nothing to do with your mental abilities. This is who you are. This is spiritual DNA we talking about. That's a different story. So look at this. So now we have received, past tense, not the spirit of the world. We ain't get that other stuff. Get that junk out. See, that's what we got to do is get that other stuff out of there. Well, the devil is chasing me. Turn around and deal with him. See, this is changing the whole perspective. Because now when you see the Spirit of God that's in you, and you recognize that, okay, God has given you the wisdom of God, deal with things. Well, I don't know how. What you're saying is, I don't know how to do it up here. You're not supposed to be as nervous as Paul was and exercise the wisdom of God. Far too long, the enemy has kept us at bay. We don't witness the folks. We don't share our faith. We don't do things that we know we need to be doing because we put up here, I don't know how. Because what we did is watch somebody else and say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Not knowing that they was just as nervous as anybody else when they first started. But why don't you move into the wisdom of God? Well, so he says, now we have received, it's already done, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. See, spiritual things are different. Oh, well, you know, I mean... Where you went? Okay, where did you get your spiritual education at? See, this is what really matters. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. First, did you know that he says I want you to know what's freely given. This ain't even about you working for it. Well, I got to fast. I got to pray. I got to seek God. Okay, maybe there are some things that you want to do that for, but do you know what you get freely? Can we just get to the free stuff first? This is freely given. You're not working for it. You're not trying to achieve it. It's freely given. Just receive it. Just receive it. Oh, that's just, it's so hard to believe. Yeah, because you're trying to deal with this. God said it. Okay, it's done. Simple as that. You know, I can't imagine the sun arguing when God said, let there be light. Well, I don't know how long am I going to shine? What temperature should I be? But you leave it up to us. And it's all cause of this. We're trying to figure out stuff in our mind instead of hearing what God said and recognizing that's the wisdom of God that he's given you. Now it's your spirit. Go on what he said in your spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Your life is more than a chance meeting of people. You are endowed with the wisdom of God for a world that has no clue what is going on. Let me share it like this. Who have you met by accident? To you, it's an accident because your mind can't figure it out. What did God set in motion before you even knew? You are a spiritual being. Stop trying to be mental about everything. Your mental capabilities are limited, but your spiritual capabilities are unlimited. What if today you're here? And somebody has a word for you here today. And that word is what you need to hear. But wait a minute. Why didn't you figure that out mentally? Why didn't you know that already? I mean, after a while, you know, you like to know stuff. But see, could you obey when God said, get up, and I need you to be at church this morning? See, it wasn't because you knew something, it's because you obeyed. And see, in your obedience, that way, see, God is connecting us through obedience. Where are you supposed to be? What are you supposed to be doing? And then just do it. Not because you figured it all out. Well, God told me to be here. Be there. You know what? Results are not left up to you. That ain't your responsibility. That's God's responsibility. I'm talking about the wisdom of God. Verse 13. Paul says, which things also we speak. Now we speak in wisdom, but not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So the Holy Ghost is teaching us. But are we learning? I mean, since you started out, what's he taught you? Are you still trying to figure it all out? Then you're not learning that it ain't about you figuring it all out. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's not going to change. So you would think that you would start learning, you and I would start learning that this thing is a faith walk, not a sight walk. So, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, listen to this. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to speak to people who also have his spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In other words, when somebody is talking to you and they're talking about something spiritual, notice it'll bear witness in your spirit, not in your mind. And then somebody else in there, they, what y'all talking about? Because they don't have his spirit. Okay, wait a minute. Remember I told you it was a club and it was only for those who are initiated? The believers are those that are initiated. Therefore, they understand the language that's being spoken in the club. Now, I'm using that as an analogy. Salvation is not a club that everybody can't get into now. But that's the way it happens. Because when you, for instance, you could be turning through the TV and you, oh, so and such is preaching. Oh, that's good. Somebody's like, get that mess off of that. They can't understand it. And I'm, it doesn't make sense to them. But now wait a minute. See, I'm trying to help you because I know some of you all have went home and you talked to your loved ones and you're trying to share with them and they just, I don't know, what's wrong with them? Maybe you can understand what's wrong with them now. Because they don't have the same spirit, they're not going to understand it. Listen, let me just stick a pin right there. When you deal with your loved ones, and I know we all want them to be saved. Listen, you share with them the truth, but then you love them. Because what happens is, okay, let's just be honest now. They remember you. I know you sanctified and you know, you running around here, you speaking tongues, and you raising the dead, you casting out demons. But they remember when you was your little treacherous self and tearing up stuff and wreaking havoc and everybody. So that's what they remember. So now, love covers a multitude of sins. Can you love them despite them being in sin? They're still your loved ones. And after all, you know, such were. I mean, you know. So the change will be seen in how you're able to love them. Not because you've beaten them over the head with a bunch of scripture that they don't understand anyway. I think that's what we forget. You know how to speak the language. They don't, it's almost like you talk another language that they don't understand. And you wonder why they're not responding to it. If somebody came in here speaking Chinese and you don't know Chinese, you and they're telling you, fire, fire, exit, you know, and you go like, huh? You don't know. Well, you're talking fire, fire, fire to them with the scriptures, and they don't understand it. But you know what? Love is a language they can't understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was the language you responded to. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. That was very good. That was very good. That was the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm being honest. That was the Holy Ghost. Because he's helping us to understand how to do this. It's God leading us, you all, as nervous as we may be with some people. So some of our loved ones, they're looking at you like, yeah, uh-huh. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I got uncles and stuff. They, when I was a little kid, they remember me and all of that. And now, yo, you a preacher, huh? Alice, you know up north it's different. You're a preacher, huh? It ain't no pastor. It ain't. You're a preacher, huh? You know. Yeah, boy. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I'm a preacher. That what you need me? I'm a preacher. But you know, they can respond to love. They can respond to you being who God is using in a way to reach them without trying to beat them over the head. You know, I came home one time, my wife and I, we was home, and I walked in the room. My uncle said, don't be trying to lay your hands on me. I'm like, did it look like I was trying to? I mean, I just walked in the room. They have all these preconceived ideas about, you know. Let me get back to my text, hallelujah. Just love them. Just love them. So, verse 14. But the natural man, now yo, let me say this, that's not you. I feel like we need to draw a distinction here. The natural man is not the born again believer. So I want you to understand when you're reading this, but the natural man who is not you. receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So we need to know that going straight in, they don't receive the things of God. For they are foolishness unto them. Watch this. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit is the key to discerning it, and they don't have the Spirit. So the ungodly man cannot receive this wisdom because it requires the Spirit of God to grasp it. So stop expecting people to understand what you understand. Well, let me tell you about how you need to tithe. They're not even saved.
That's right.
You need to tithe. You want to be blessed? Wait a minute. Let me tell you. They blessed already. They still breathing. Okay, let me put it in perspective. They blessed already because God has, he has given them grace to live. Because if they died in their sin, you need to be blessed. Let me show you how to be blessed. See, if you bring your tithe and your offering, no, you know what? That's for you. That's for you because you know the language. Because we're the one who understand how the blessings of God work. They don't. Well, you saying, Pastor, it won't work for them? No, that ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying you trying to clean the fish before you catch it. So what you're really trying to do is teach them that it's all about works. Instead of teaching them about grace. Oh, yeah, God saved me because I pay tithes. Really? That's what you're trying to teach? Verse 15. Oh, my goodness. Where are we at? Okay, we good. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So listen to this. Because of the Spirit of God that's in you, you are able to evaluate all manner of items, yet you are above human evaluation. No other person can evaluate you spiritually. They're not qualified. Let me do it better. No unsaved person can evaluate anything in your life. I don't care how long they've been around. I don't care what they think they know. But because they don't have the Spirit to discern it. So I'm making sure we go through the text first. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now watch this. You can evaluate anything because, watch this, not because of you, but because of the Spirit that's in you. So you could sit down and something transpires. You could go through the Word of God because of the Spirit that's inside of you who's going to bear witness to truth, and you can evaluate it. Okay, now, what does that mean? That's why we need spiritual leaders. That's why, can I be frank here today? That's why I need you to be the supervisor on the job. That's why I need you to be in the politics and those kind of things. That's why, not me personally, but that's why God needs us to take these positions. Because we're the only ones who can spiritually evaluate what's going on. Because if not, the Bible says the blind lead the blind. They both end up where? Look at our world now. Who's leading? Because we've said, oh, the church shouldn't be in politics. No. We shouldn't have anything to do with laws, even though God is the lawgiver. So we said, let somebody else do that. And then somebody else did that, and they said, well, you know, I think you should marry whoever you want to. Matter of fact, I think not only should you marry whoever you want to, but I think if people feel like they're an animal, they should be given the right to act like that animal.
as long as they want to. And then we sit around, why in the world are they doing that? No, 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 no. Because you said that you didn't want to have a part with that. What? Vote? I ain't got time to be voting. They watch this. They going to do what they want to do anyway. And you're right. They are. They are. And you're going to deal with what they do. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get back to the text here. Just trying to show you how it all, you know, kind of connect there. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, why don't they, do you ever, you know that there are real Christians out here, right? You want them, amen? Can I get a witness here? Hallelujah. Do you notice the people that they put in front of microphones and stuff? I don't know where they get them from. I believe they carry them around with them because these are not normal people. So what do you think about this? It's an act of God. Listen. What do you mean an act of God? Sin is running rampant in this world. And now, instead of seeing the goodness of God, you see something terrible, and the first thing you want to say, that's God doing that. That's his judgment. Oh, okay, did anybody remember that he... Listen, don't get me wrong. The judgment is coming, and I promise you, when it comes, people won't be confused. They're not going to be, well, is that judgment or not? See, right now, it is still the dispensation of grace. I don't care how it feels. I don't care how it looks. It's still the dispensation of grace because when it changes, people will know. But now we have to be in a position to where we can tell people what's going on now. What is happening? So you got people say, well, why does God allow evil? If God is so good. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why don't we talk about sin and what it's doing? But you can't if you don't have the wisdom of God, which comes by his Spirit. So consequently, these people give all of these answers that sound real good up here, but have no biblical foundation. But verse 15 again. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says this, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, Paul said, listen, can't nobody else even judge me. Don't nobody else even qualify. But now remember this, God is the righteous judge. He ain't going to make no mistake. He knows. Verse 16. Y'all with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Yes. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who's smart enough to tell God what to do? Well, watch this. But we have the mind of Christ. Yes. Parents, when's the last time you told your children that they have the mind of Christ? Well, I'm trying to, they struggling in school. Did you tell them what mind they really have? Or are you just letting everybody else tell them what kind of mind they have? Faith cometh by what? So what are they hearing? See, we it's the same with us. You know, it come time for us, you need to get ready for this next promotion, so you need to be doing this. Man, that's hard. I ain't gonna ever go. Did you remember what mind you have? See, I'm tired of this just being a book we read. But we have. We're not going to get. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna have the mind of Christ. He said, "You got it right now. Right now." Now, what you do with it is different, but you got it. See, you understand why now when we stand before God, what's your excuse? He says, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I think that's 1 Peter 1:4. Somewhere in there. He's already given these things to us. That's why we don't have an excuse. So what's hard? Solomon, the Bible says the spirit of wisdom came on Solomon. Do you know that Solomon was in the botany? He was in the biology. He was in the sciences. He was in the poetry. Solomon was doing everything. And can you please show me what school he went to? Solomon was so bad, the Queen of Sheba said, I got to go see him. Because they would come to Solomon with life's questions, and the man would answer them. Wait a minute. This is without studying. It don't say that Solomon went anywhere. The Bible says the spirit of wisdom came upon him. And now here we are with the mind of Christ. You have the mind of God. What do you want to do? See, what are we settling for and what are we able to do? See, I'm talking about the wisdom of God that's been given to you. Well, I want to do so-and-so. Well, first off, don't consult folks that don't know nothing. Amen. They're going to talk you out of what you want to do. Well, all right. Ain't nobody ever done that I know. Well, you only know five people. You don't know nobody. You ain't been nowhere. You ain't never done nothing. See, you can't, Bishop used to say, you can't consult a small mind with a big idea. You got folk, and they you dreaming of stuff that God's put in your heart. I was sharing with my wife, we were sitting down the other day, and God, I believe, dropped something in my spirit to do. I said, that's good. I mean, I'm just sitting there, So, okay, now, first off, I'm not going to consult everybody. Can I be honest with you? When we bought this building, we didn't tell everybody. Because folk would say, that building over there, I can't believe it. And I know this may not be nothing for nobody else, but it was a big idea for me then. And I couldn't consult small-minded people. It's the same with you. If God drops something in your spirit, instead of trying to figure it out up here, said, okay, now, all right, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but now, why don't you start looking at the possibilities of bringing it to pass, not how it won't happen. You know the first thing we do when God give us something? We start lining up the reasons it won't happen. Well, Lord, I don't know nothing about that. See, now you're consulting your mentality to figure out if what God wants to do can come to pass or not. Do you think he maybe understood that when he gave you the idea? I don't have nobody to help me. Well, you ain't started working on it either. I'm amazed that, the thing that God wants us to do, the first thing, let me share something with you. If God ever give you something, it's going to require faith from you. Amen. You may not have seemingly the resources to do it, but the first thing it requires is your faith. In other words, do you even believe it's possible?
Yes.
Teresa, I think, 15 years ago? Okay, you doing hair. That's possible. Can you own your own shop? Well, let's get all the reasons you can't. Oh, no. My instructor, they didn't have their own shop. Oh, yeah. Let's list all of the reasons that it just can't happen. But 15 years later?
Amen.
See, what do we really see when it comes to what God drops? See, the spirit of wisdom is different because you're going to get, watch this, it's going to hit here, not here. It's the thing that you, literally, your mind has to catch up to it. Because you'll start doing. The thing is, when you hear it, you got to start doing it. You got to start moving. Because if not, you'll sit there and you'll talk yourself out of it. I believe countless ideas have been released by the Spirit of God, but people have sat on them. And they, when you sit on it, it start going, And see, what's happening is the faith, if you'd have took that next step, well, I'm going to call so-and-so, see what they know about this. Well, I'm going to do this. See, you start taking a step, and all of a sudden, something else opens up. Before you know it, it's like, I can do this. Now your mind starts to catch up with what was in your spirit. But if you sit on it, well, because you ain't moved, there's nothing else is set in motion. Wow, Holy Spirit, help us. So, for who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them, but we have the mind of Christ. The wisdom of God is from us. Well, look at this. The wisdom of God is in us, so now we have the very mind of Christ. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2. Turn there right quick. I know you said, well, Pastor, I don't understand. You said we got the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it need to be somewhere else. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So, you know, you showed this to me in one place. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, please. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that you got to let it? Let it. You got to let it. Oh, Lord, I don't understand. No, did you let it? Watch this. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. It's not about us. When God give you something, and I understand. If God give you an idea, oftentimes, you know, if you get to talking about other people, talking to other people, especially it's a wonderful idea, and they see this thing, be like, "Boy, you're gonna make so much money. You're gonna be able to do this. You're gonna be able to do, oh." But wait a minute, that was never what it was about. Amen. You don't know who's gonna be impacted by what God gave you. What if, Elder, I think about you all. What if y'all, there's one song God gives you. It ain't about whether everybody will see y'all names in light. What happens to that person when you all sing that one song and it ministers to them? And you may never know. But what if you'd never acted on it? See, it's these kinds of things where God allows us to be strategically a part of what he's doing. But it's our responsibility is acting in faith. Because now we have the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is going to make me of no reputation. It's not about me. It's not about what I get out of this. It's not about what they're going to say when they see me come in. I can't wait till I get that limo ride. It ain't about you. Now, all of those things may come out of it, but it was never about you. See, that's where we struggle. Because the first thing we want to do is see how we are going to benefit from this. What if there's no perceived benefit for you? Would you still do it? Oh, hallelujah. Y'all are looking around now. But he, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus made himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant. So this is the mind we have. Are you serving? I'm doing this out of service. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility and obedience. Those are the things that you're looking for. Can you be humble and can you be obedient? Those are the two things you're responsible for. That you want to see your faith operate? Okay, I'm going to be humble and I'm going to be obedient. Now, whatever God does with this is him. You remember Micah 6 and 8? He showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Humility and obedience. Verse 9 of Philippians 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know, I believe when we understand operating in what God called us to do by the Spirit of God inside of the wisdom of God, it's unlimited. I want to read you something. Jesus, when he obeyed, the Bible says that God gave him a name. He also highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. Do you know God wants to give you a name? Watch this. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You ain't got to go there. But he told Abraham, he said, listen, you know it, and we'll bless those who bless you, and we'll curse those who curse you. But did you know what else he said? We'll make your name great. Watch this. He want to give you a name. I know we said, I just want to be behind the scene. Listen, you and your little behind the scenes self, he want to give you a name. Just have your name behind the scenes. But he want to give you a name. Because God know what we desire on the inside. I understand some of us, well, I don't want that. Because you really don't want it because of the way of this and that. But see, God wants you to have it because he love you. Well, Pastor, I ain't never seen that in the scripture. Well, just hold on. You about to read it? Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. I want my name. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, he just prideful. Well, you call it what you want. We're going to read this, and we're going to see if I'm prideful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Maybe you want some of this, too. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, wait a minute. Now, you know everybody can't hear. Only the people that has an ear, because now the Spirit is talking. So only people that's going to hear is the people that's got his Spirit. So this ain't for everybody. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. So now you get to eat something that's hidden. Okay? And I will give him a white stone. The white stone signified victory and triumph. So he's talking to people who could hear him that overcome, and you're going to get to eat something that everybody else can't eat, and then you're going to get a white stone signifying your victory. And in the stone, I'm just making sure y'all read it too.
Yes, sir.
So there's a new name written in the stone which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth. You ain't even got to know my name. God will. Because he gave me the name. It ain't about you knowing my name. I got my stone with my name on it. God's got a blessing for me with my name on it. I'm just saying. Oh, y'all got me all out there now. Let me close by saying this. Go back to verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to close with this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's a responsibility we all have because of what we have in Christ. We are the ones that God is using to change this world. Like it or not, why don't somebody do something? You're the somebody. I'm the somebody. Well, somebody need to stand up and make. We are that somebody. Because we're the ones who have the Spirit of God and the mind of God, and he's endowed us with the wisdom of God. But what are we doing with it? Every head bowed, eyes are closed. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All of us. Wages are payment. You get the wages because you did the work. Every one of us done the work of sin, and we were subject to the payment for the work that we did. That work that we did in sin was supposed to result in death. For the wages or the payment of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the thing that stopped my payment was a gift. See, just like we receive the gift that stopped the payment, we need to receive the mind of Christ and operate in the wisdom of God. Both of them we receive by faith, not by works, but by our faith in the true and living God. We may go different paths in our life than some other people, but either way, you've got the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. He's destined you to use them for his glory. That's our responsibility. So we must both be careful to evaluate what we do and how we do it, because it's designed for God to get glory out of our lives. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it lets us know that salvation didn't come because we worked it out. It came because of what we confessed and what we believed. What am I saying? That now we need to confess the wisdom of God, the mind of God, and believe the wisdom of God and the mind of God. And just like we receive the results of salvation, we'll receive the result of the wisdom of God in our lives. Heavenly Father, as we're here with our heads bowed, in reverence to you and who you are, God, I believe you wanted to speak to us about your wisdom. I pray, Father, that we would embrace the wisdom of God wholeheartedly. And Lord, as we today understand our role as believers and what you've given unto us freely, and God, what you desire us to have, I pray, Father, we would no longer be hindered by those things that we've thought of in our mind. But Lord, we would recognize what your word says about us. And that's what we would operate on. God, it's not about what we've achieved thus far. Let that not hinder us from what you're calling us to do in our future with you. Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God, you're the one that's ordering and directing our steps. We may plan our way, but it's the Lord who brings it to pass. So, Father, as you have destined us to be great in you, Lord, cause us to step out of our comfort zone, to be able to share this wisdom that was given before the foundation of the world, the wisdom that would cause us to come across the paths of different people and share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, even though we, like the Apostle Paul, may find ourselves being nervous at times, it does not hinder the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're your mouthpiece, and Lord, may we speak the truth in love. God, we are your hands. May we embrace one another in the love of our God. And Father, you said, by this shall all men know that we're your disciples if we have love one for another. God, fill our hearts with your love, for love covers a multitude of sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory. Listen, I just felt this morning, I don't know if God is opening up something on the wisdom of God, But I'm seeing it in a whole different light. It's not just, it's not this mental thing. Wisdom, it's, we've got to let God direct us. We've got to. And I hope today that by the Spirit of God, it's begun to liberate you in some areas, maybe in your own personal life, maybe to get you to see, to be honest, to see you differently. Not so much as seeing other people, but you differently. Stop beating yourself up so much. Stop being so critical. Who are you to evaluate you? He's the righteous judge, not you. We will always disqualify ourselves because we think we just aren't good enough. But you know what? If Christ declared us righteous, who are we to declare ourselves unfit? I mean, I'm just being honest. I know we may not always feel righteous, but how we feel does not dictate how we should behave. Amen.